Hey everyone, today we're going to be talking about some of our favorite drinks and some of your favorite drinks that you can find at Universal Orlando Resort. So live from the Bob Varley studio, this is the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is episode 78 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. They are the experts at helping you plan the perfect vacation to Universal Orlando. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. I'm sorry, I made eye contact with you and then I just started laughing.
How many times can you say Universal Orlando?
A lot, actually. It's
going to be the drinking game of the episode.
It's going to be the drinking game for the episode about drinks, as well as just we're trying to, what's it called whenever you try to manipulate someone into liking something?
Like, you know, propaganda or something?
I think you said it.
Kind of. Well, no, it was like, but with that, it's whenever they hide stuff in, like The Simpsons.
Oh,
when they did
product placement?
Subliminal messages.
Yeah, subliminal messages. Oh. We're going to just keep repeating Universal Orlando so much that eventually people are going to say, well, I need to start going. And so I guess we should also say Dreams Unlimited Travel a lot, too, so that way they can
in front of Universal
completely run
Orlando.
It out. Yes, Universal Orlando. Dreams Unlimited Travel. Hi, I'm your host.
And he's got unlimited dreams.
I'm your host with the most. Your ghost host. Your...
That's the wrong park, dude.
Oops.
We're talking about Universal Orlando.
Sorry, wrong one. Universal Orlando Resort, that
yes,
is?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Book it through Dreams Unlimited Travel.
Good idea. I'm your host, Craig Williams. Today I'm joined with Jenny Lynn Knopp.
Hey, guys.
And back on the controls.
Hey.
Rhino Clavin, sporting a very stylish Stop Eating My Sesame Cake shirt.
Yes. Sent to us by Caleb of Cavanna Customs, and he's wrote a wonderful little note to us, and he gave us this cool, if I hold this up, I think you can see it, my new sticker.
Oh, you can see most
almost.
Of it. Oh,
you can please. See the rhino.
There we go. So hashtag
getting
rhino.
There. Yeah.
Yes, we got that.
That was a fun little surprise.
We did.
And the letter was very nice.
Do you want to bring up the letter?
Should I read
you said it. Yeah, read your favorite part of it.
Oh, the
Don't
whole
cry.
Thing was good.
Don't
it was
cry.
Emotional.
Yeah, read all very of it. Nice. I think it's very
handwritten,
not often.
Which I really appreciate. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Like I made it a New Year's resolution to write handwritten letters.
I mean, here's the thing. This is the only show that you're regularly on anymore. So if you're going to read a letter that was sent to you, I think this would be the show to do it on.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, he said, "Hey, Rhino, I know the shirt is silly and I wouldn't blame you at all if you never wore it." Well, good sir. I'm wearing it right now, and I'm going to wear it forever. It's just a small thank you for entertaining me while I work during the day. He says, "I lost my brother, my only sibling, a few years ago to cancer. He had just turned 30. He loved Disney and wanted to spend his 30th birthday at the Magic Kingdom. He was too sick to make that trip and passed away only days after his birthday. Since his death, I found myself doing things he did and loving the things that he loved. I always liked Disney growing up, but he loved it. Now my wife and I travel to Orlando each year to take the Disney trip that he wanted to take before we passed. Long story short, he never knew of the Diz Unplugged. I wish he would have, though he would have been your all's biggest fan. You actually remind me a lot of my brother. It's kind of crazy." There's a little smiley face there. "And I just wanted to thank you and the whole team. The Diz Unplugged has greatly improved my daily dreaming. Thanks, Caleb." And this was a super... I read that a little fast because I don't want to think about it too much because I got a little... beklimped earlier, but this is a super, super nice, super thoughtful thing to do, and it's really nice to know that somebody listens to our, I don't want to say garbage is the right word.
Oh, but, it's garbage. Trust me, it's garbage.
I appreciate that, and, it's a very nice thing. I'm happy that I can remind you of somebody you like so much, so.
Yeah. It's a beautiful story, and thank you, Caleb. I got a sticker, too. I didn't
apply it.
I don't have room on this computer, but it will go on my other computer that I do bring from time to time. So thank you so much again. And we're just finding out now, though, that we might have to kind of scrap that and get new ones because the new hashtag going on is Crinolin.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Jenny Lynn's apparently been added into our insanity, but we kind of talked about this yesterday. Without you, though, we might have to have the second annual cry no sooner than we expected.
Oh.
So, but more on that development, the middle of the show.
Well, I'm glad I didn't wear that shirt yet, though.
We don't want to show people how the muffins get made.
I don't want to show anybody my muffin top.
Fantastic.
Let's get a t-shirt about that.
Wonderful.
I will not wear that shirt. I'm just going to leave it on you, Craig.
That's wonderful. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we have a huge show for you today. Not huge. Actually, very small, very minuscule.
Set the bar real
actually
high.
I'm judging ourselves hardcore on
you're
this.
You're doing what now?
Judging.
I'm judging ourselves.
Judging is what
it's
I
totally
heard.
Totally judging.
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 Watch how I speak. That's the judging face right there.
We have an excellent show coming up. It could be better. I will just flat out say it could be better.
We haven't even done it yet.
We're talking about our favorite drinks and other people's favorite drinks out there. And here's the thing. We've been wanting to talk about this so much. This isn't drinks around the universe. Hopefully one day, fingers crossed, we'll be able to do
I would love that.
A guaranteed drinks around the universe and do that style. But for now, we still want to talk about our passion for beverages, alcoholic and non-alcoholic, at Universal Orlando. Here is the main issue. With the exception of maybe the Flaming Moe and Butterbeer, I don't think I've really ever taken pictures of a lot of the drinks I get there.
No, we need to start doing this.
And we try as much as possible to not steal other people's pictures. So that way, they deserve the credit they get for taking them. If they want to ever send us pictures to use on a show or something like that, we'll use it. But we would never just go out there and steal it. So we're going to talk a lot about the experience of having these drinks in places and our favorite ones, of course, your favorite ones that you told us about. But it's not going to be very visual. So all you audio people, you're winning the game today.
For once.
Once we get there. But we have a little bit of stuff to go over before that. The stuff that we always throw in to kind of like make sure that we get a show to the length, the level that we want it to go, and then we end up running way, way over.
So I have a shocker.
Before that shocker, we're talking about sweet stuff, right? We're talking about drinks. We're talking about fun.
Okay.
Everyone's favorite party girl is in Orlando right now.
Kylie Jenner?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So for those of you watching this, she is the one on the left, obviously. And for those of you listening, we'll have the picture up in our show notes. But, yeah.
She is going to be at the grand opening of Sugar Factory tomorrow, I think. Is it tomorrow?
Yeah.
In the iDrive 360 complex.
Yeah, so which obviously has nothing to do with Universal. But
no, but all of you Kardashian fans.
I just thought it was absolutely hilarious
that Universal
actually sent us out.
hey, cool people come here, too.
Celebrity news. Celebrity news. Velociraptor greets Kylie Jenner during her visit.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. You know what? I lost sleep over it.
Whoever handles that, I bet they were just like, oh my God, I've got to get this photo out to everybody. It's Kylie. You know what I mean? Like, they're clearly a fan.
Yeah. No, it's always fun seeing a celebrity. I almost said a celebrity.
Celebrity.
A celebrity at a theme park. And I've seen some cool ones in my time. I know Rhino has too. JL, mm-hmm. I'm sure you have as well. Mm-hmm. I get excited about the smaller ones. Sometimes the ones
so you're
I didn't
all about
see.
Kylie Jenner then.
What?
So you're all about Kylie Jenner?
I am in no way about Kylie Jenner.
Okay.
Well,
you said smaller ones.
I know who she is. I know of her, obviously, but I do not follow her.
I wouldn't say she's
her.
A small celebrity.
I would say she's a massive celebrity.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean physically?
Isn't she overshadowed by her sisters?
The whole
I would,
family is. Like,
I mean, yeah, Kim, but more. If I know it is Kim, then Kylie, then the rest.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, before it was Courtney and the other one. But who?
Chloe.
Chloe,
she's
that's
it. Someone that married a basketball player. Yeah.
But, I mean, they've all fallen out of obscurity and all that. They're all trash. They're all trashy people.
Are you watching
Unless
American
watching
Crime
right
Story
now.
At all?
They're great. No.
Because, you know, Robert Kardashian was friends with O.J. Simpson. So David Schwimmer's playing Robert Kardashian. So the kids were like, the adults nowadays in 2016 are on the show frequently, and every now and then I just think, one of you is going to have a sex tape soon.
Fantastic. Absolutely.
Well, I don't write the show. That's just life. It's true. That's why she's famous.
I know.
Okay.
I know. I'm just... This has just already gone off the rails.
You're bobbing so your head like a librarian right now, like a nervous librarian.
Please do not, please do not try to fix our camera again right now.
That's a signature move.
No, so of yeah, that happened. We had to put it out. If Universal took the time to make sure that we knew about it, we felt like we had to deliver the news to everyone else.
Heads up, people. The Kardashian is in the park.
Yes, yes. Well, not anymore, probably. That was yesterday. But Jaya, what were you going to bring up?
Okay. The shocker was I have housekeeping. Sort of. I guess, like, is this considered housekeeping?
Which one are you going with first?
Both.
We go on with the bae first or the
bae?
The bae.
Okay. We'll do that one first. Housekeeping.
Go with bae.
So, yesterday, I decided, you know what? I'm going to take my son out to Cabana Bay for dinner. On Wednesdays, my girls go to their friends' houses, and it's just me and Miller, and we usually kind of do a mommy-son date. And I thought, let's go head over to Cabana Bay. So we drove over there, and nope, could not eat at the Bayliner Diner because all of the check-in parking, which is the only free parking space there is there, had been sectioned off for valet. So I guess you have to check in. If you're going to check in, you have to give your car over to a valet person. I did not know what's happening here, but I was very upset because I couldn't go and eat at the Bayliner Diner, which was the plan. And
okay, here's where
I do not like this.
Here's where we sound awful. The check-in parking, that was technically only for people who were checking in temporarily. And then once they checked in, they have a car, they'd obviously drive onto the lot. So people like you and I completely took advantage of not wanting to have to pay for parking while we were there by parking in the check-in parking.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to pay $20 to go eat at the Bayliner Diner.
Exactly.
To park to go eat at the Bayliner Diner.
I won't do that.
And we eat very fast. So let's say it was a long line at the check-in counter. We might even just be there the same amount of time.
Oh, I've stayed in check-in parking for hours before. I'm part of the problem.
Great.
I mean, I have not done that. But, I mean, I just wanted to go eat a meal. And I'm giving them my money.
I know.
I'm actually paying for the spot in a different way.
I know.
So what's this about, though? Is this a thing?
I guess they're just trying to cut it out, finally.
I guess so. So now in order to check in, you have to valet.
No, I mean, you would go and you would pull around and you would drop your luggage off, go check in. Typical. Like the other hotels you would. You would just pull into the rotundas or whatever they're called, the ceviches. What's the people always call them?
You're so
the
fancy.
No,
I think you called like them rotundas.
It's like
are you talking about
a coup d'etat or something?
No.
Roundabout. Oh, porte-cochere.
No, they're not.
Porte-cochere. That's it. Porte-cochere.
I thought you were going to say rotary.
Woo!
A rotary phone. I know what rotary is.
Yeah. So will you drive your car around in a circle?
All right. So anyway, apparently this is a thing. You can't park in the check-in anymore.
Yeah, that sucks.
Which means I can't go eat at Bayliner Diner unless I go and park in regular parking because my annual pass covers that at City Walk. And then take a bus over to Cabana Bay.
Oh, it sucks. But I'll tell you, I only have one problem with this is if it increases the price of staying there. Because whenever Cabana Bay first opened up, they touted it as this is the value resort. So we don't offer things like valet parking. We don't offer someone to help you take your luggage to your room. Staying in a value, that means you don't get those amenities. If you want that, you stay at the other ones. So if they add in the valet...
The art valet. The art valet.
It's a new low for me, the valet.
If you've just shopped at Target and you need to go to the valet.
God.
Okay. So we're valeting
a number of correctionaries today. God, there's a whole new page after this episode.
As long as they don't increase the prices, I don't give a crap.
Keep the valet away.
Let's move on.
The valet away.
Okay. The other thing that was brought to our attention by one of our favorite people, Shane. So it was just, not just, but it was recently announced that WrestleMania 33 was going to be held in Orlando. So along with that, resurfaced this rumor that WWE was going to have a Hall of Fame building, restaurant, and merchandise store in CityWalk. More specifically, in the building where NBA City was. But you had some words on that.
I do.
The word is no.
The word is no. My whole issue with this rumor was, we even talked about it on the show a long time ago.
Yeah.
That it was out there. But then there was lots of ideas thrown out for NBA City. Would it be WWE? Would it be something basic like a Cheesecake Factory? The last thing that we've heard and has basically all been but confirmed by every website out there is that it will be a chocolate-style restaurant, as we discussed a couple weeks ago. So then, all of a sudden, with the announcement of WrestleMania, this random website called Attractions Management, that I believe is based in the UK, just all of a sudden decided to throw up the rumor. And of course, you know, once a rumor gets brought up, everyone just latches onto it, like expecting it to be a thing. And there was no basis for them to bring it up. It just happened, and it kind of took off again. It's an awful idea. I know people
I disagree with it being an awful idea.
It's
but
an
go
awful
ahead.
Idea. I know people are a fan of wrestling.
Yes.
But, and this is going to offend a lot of people with how I'm saying it. The average wrestling fan would never be able to afford to eat at the restaurant because it would be so overpriced and expensive. Clearly, there is not a market for this because the last time they tried it, it failed miserably in New York City. Yes, I know your argument is that WrestleMania sells out wherever it goes, and I understand
It's
a big event.
Not that it sells out wherever it goes, but in Orlando, it does. I mean, last time they were, they sold out the Amway Center. WWE's Performance Center is here in Winter Park. Their whole developmental program is here, and they've definitely got a following. NXT is, you know, set up at Full Sail University, and that's just getting bigger and bigger. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that there's not a market. I don't know that I agree with you saying that wrestling fans wouldn't go. What I do agree with, you brought up a point earlier, would be that in order to go to this restaurant, they would have to park at CityWalk, and they would have to pay for that parking, and I think that would definitely come into play here and not work in its favor. But yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea, especially with a lot of the wrestlers living and working here. It would be something that, I mean, whether it would be mandatory and WWE made them attend or whether they'd go for fun. But if people thought that they were going to go to this place and possibly see some of the people that they watch, you know, on TV, I think that would also draw a crowd. It's kind of like the people that go to Wahlburgers for, you know, to see if they're going to see.
They're not.
Which they're not here. I'm sorry. They're not.
Yeah. I think it is a bad idea to put it at CityWalk. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, terrible, but they already did that pigeonhole thing with NASCAR. So replacing their already too narrow thing with another narrow thing doesn't make sense. Whereas, like, maybe on iDrive, maybe it'll work, but I don't think on
iDrive.
I don't disagree with that.
I don't even think on iDrive. If they want to build it somewhere, go build it by their facility, something like that. Build it way out. You know, if they think it's good enough to stand on its own, build it someplace where you think it's going to stand on its own. NBA City failed. And by all means, we went and ate there. We enjoyed the food that we had, but it was overpriced, and it obviously failed. NASCAR, the food was okay whenever I ate there, the one time I did. But the restaurant in general, sitting there, was awful. The only time it was ever popular was on days that there was big sporting events, Sundays for football. It was huge. Look at NBC Sports Grill and Brew. Granted, it hasn't been open that long, but the food is very good. And I have walked by at random times throughout the day and night, regardless of what sporting event's going on, and the place is always busy. As soon as you open it up, you say sports. You don't pigeonhole it into that one little niche market. Then it just becomes better. I can go to a sports bar. Would I go to a WWE bar? No.
I would say that they're two different audiences. I don't know. The people that I know that watch wrestling aren't the same people that watch basketball games or watch football games. Wrestling is kind of its own animal. With all of WWE having its own network, they could definitely keep those TVs running with countless, you know, things.
And then
their pay-per-views every every month. That'd be something else. That would be a big event that if people thought they could go to this restaurant to watch a pay-per-view and not have to pay all the money for that, that would be another big draw.
Well, yeah,
and again, if the wrestlers were to show up too.
They could also go to Ale House, watch a event that does pay-per-view like that, or another bar that does it that pays for the pay-per-view, and not have to spend the extreme amount of cost that the food would be at that restaurant.
Yeah, if it's at City Walk, I agree it would probably be pricier. I'm not saying that it has to be at City Walk. I'm agreeing with Rhino that I think that there's a place for it. It may not be at City Walk, but
it's absolutely
the main thing.
I'm not saying there's a place for it. I was just saying there shouldn't be a place.
I think that it's a good idea. I do think there's a good idea. Maybe not at City Walk.
I told you, I used to watch wrestling growing up. I probably still somewhere in a closet filled with old clothes that were never thrown away or donated have many wrestling shirts. I was huge into wrestling. Like, it's just, then if you fall out, you kind of fall out.
But here's the thing too, it's never gonna reach where it was before. It's never gonna come back to that. It doesn't.
I wouldn't even believe that. I think it could absolutely gain more notoriety again, but it's a stupid idea. Universal, whenever they're doing so many things right, to then try to get back and bring in a little niche thing like wrestling really is, it's not going to work. Sports bars will work. Something that's broad, something that can appeal to everyone in the group. That's not going to happen with wrestling. It's just, unless you're fans of wrestling, you're not going to go. It's the same thing we laughed about with NBA City.
No, that's
City.
True.
It brings no unique food to the table either. I can't imagine this is the place that's going to have a unique dining, a food experience. I don't know.
No.
That's all.
Okay. So,
you guys don't bow leave.
If they decide to go through it, best of luck to them. I'll be excited for what comes right after. So, because it will not work. It just won't.
All right. That was all I had.
Okay. So, should we talk about what we came here for?
Why not? Let's do
Shall
it.
We?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we both drank enough. Clearly, you're drinking moonshine over there.
Yeah, I got my moonshine.
I'm literally drinking from a growler.
I got a red Solo cup back here.
Yeah.
We're ready to go.
All right. I do want to preface, though, every one of these bottles is filled with water.
Yeah.
Sure they are.
You shouldn't. Don't.
My backpack's clanging with
empties.
Don't
ruin the illusion.
No.
All right. You go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, because I'm still trying to find the document.
Okay, fantastic. That's why I brought it up before we start. So,
got it.
I love drinking. Alcoholic and non-alcoholic. Rhino, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
JL, more on the non-alcoholic side. We've all seen you let loose every now and then.
Every once in
often,
a while.
Drinks in general are just fun. It's a way to be extremely creative. We don't have to tell you that. It's a way to have some delicious flavors with a lot of unnecessary calories that you take in from it. And the one thing I would say in life that I found is that I am more or less let down by drinks, or more or less let down by food.
More than drink. You're
more
let down
typically
more.
Than I, why am I trying to add too many words in
You're
it?
Let down more by food than you are by drinks.
Absolutely.
Are you sure that's water in your glass?
I think it. Well, no, I flat out said I've been drinking all day. No one said anything.
We just wanted you to figure it out yourself.
If we can go do drinks around the world, then we'll bring drinks around the world here.
There you go.
No, I promise it is water. But
I think that a drink, a good themed drink for me, can elevate an experience the same way I know it can be said for food in the same way. But, you know, it's I did something last night and we made a themed drink for it. And it was fun, like coming up with it, creating it, and then, you know, executing it. And it's great. And I love to go somewhere where there's like, I always say, like, what's your signature drink or what's your themed drink, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's a little, it's that little touch.
Exactly. Clearly, we know Disney is pretty good at doing this. I will, like I do multiple times on this show and in life, I will say flat out, I believe Universal is better whenever it comes to fun themed beverages, whether in the parks, whether at the hotels, anywhere. I think they have a leg up on it. I mean, clearly, one of the, we'll get the big boy out of the way and go with Butterbeer is one of the first ones we talk about. But Butterbeer just became this massive success. I can't remember what the stat was in like the...
They were saying we've served this many of them?
Oh, they've served like 5 million Butterbeers, or they sold $5 million worth of Butterbeers or something in the first year. It's just a cash cow. Everyone that comes to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter for the first time has to have a Butterbeer.
Well, I think part of the reason for that is that the... I don't want to say the lore around the beverage, but the story around the beverage, I think a lot of people are buying it, getting it because it you feel like it's part of the experience of being there.
It
especially
absolutely is.
It's part of the story with Harry Potter. It just helps you feel a little bit more immersed in the story.
It became a like one of those things where even as a local, every time I was going to the park, when I first got my annual pass a couple of years ago, I would specifically be like, well, I'm at Universal, got to go to Islands of Adventure and get that Butterbeer, like every time. And
yeah, it was the same for me and the kids. Yeah, it
absolutely.
Just, it's, you know, people have their traditions, you know, especially when they come on vacation that they do. And with this one, it's kind of like, you know, all right, I have my Butterbeer, so it's official. I'm at Universal.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the other thing about the drink is it's just plain good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Everything about it, whether you're enjoying it, hot, cold, frozen.
What's your favorite kind?
Mine? Mm. Cold.
You like just cold? Straight up cold?
Straight off tap.
Mine's frozen.
Mine was frozen just because I the first one I ever had was the cold one, but it, in Florida sun, it heats up in your hand so fast when you're outside drinking it. But I really, really like the hot one a lot. Like it's got that salty, sweet goodness to it, and it's just it's so good. But again, I'm not going to drink that in July. Maybe I will.
Maybe you will. I bet I wouldn't put it past you.
I'm sweating much.
Should we? I mean, I'm not sure how. Are we going to get basic with these for people who have been under a rock? Do we need to explain what Butterbeer is, what it tastes like?
Sure, explain it.
So it's fairly simple. It's a butterscotch flavored cream soda, basically, and then it's got a frothy top.
The best
part.
That
is if you get the cold part. Obviously, that's not the case if you get a frozen one.
Yes, it is.
But
it's
the frothy part.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same on all three of them.
Has it really been that long since
I've
had
a separate machine that they pull the top out of.
All right.
And it is an absolute requirement. They are not allowed to give it to you without it, and they are not allowed to just give you a giant cup of the cream top.
Well, then it's just been
it
a while since I've had one.
The exact way all of
winter
them.
I don't have it in the winter, but butterscotch cream soda, kind of. I mean, can you think of a better way to describe it?
I can't remember what the phrase they used to make us tell people that was the absolute description of it, the official description.
Mm-hmm.
It was, obviously there was butterscotch. It'll come to me.
Okay.
It'll come to me. But yeah, there's, if you go up and you ask an employee, a team member, what...
Can you Google the official description? Is it out there?
Yeah, I was going to try to do that here. If you go up and ask them, though, they have to give you the official response of what it does taste like. And obviously, I had it memorized while I was working there, and I've since forgotten. But it also got to a point where people stopped asking because everyone knows Butterbeer, unless this was literally your first time coming out of the caves going to get Butterbeer. And, you know, the prices range. It's a very reasonable cost to get a Butterbeer.
I would disagree with that. because I don't think you get enough. It's not an alcoholic drink, and you're still paying, you know, what's it now?
It's $5.50 for the hot and cold.
Like a pint? Or
it's $5.50 for the hot and cold now? Are you sure?
Yeah.
How much is the frozen then? $6.50?
Like $6.50.
Ooh.
A little tip on that,
the frozen, though. I think, is too expensive. $6.50 is there. I think that most this drink should only go up to $6. But let's be real. You can get a soda for $3.30 around there. Or you can get butter beer for $2 more.
Well, and that's why I wouldn't normally pay two extra dollars for... The reason why I do with my kids, especially, you know, when I go, it's not just me getting a drink. It's me getting a drink for my three kids, and that two times whatever, it adds up. When we do it, it is an event. Like, it's an experience. Like, it's a special thing. Like, we are going to Universal tonight, and you're going to get a special treat because I'm going to get you butter beer. Because it's not, in my opinion, well, again, single mom's wallet, but it's not cheap. I'd rather stick with the $2, $3.
Here's a tip on that. If you are an annual pass holder and you go into the restaurant, into Three Broomsticks, or you go into the bar that's in there and you show your annual pass holder, you get a discount on it there. If you buy it at a cart, you don't get a discount. So I always go inside.
Yeah,
buy it there to save
myself. But we have to also realize the majority of people who are listening, watching, are not annual pass holders. So a lot of it doesn't affect them. For the average vacationer coming down here, if you don't get butter beer, you're a moron. listen,
it is a part of the experience.
It's a snack. Yeah. It's literally a snack. So you can go around the park and you can get popcorn or, you know, a giant cookie or something else you see in a treat case. Butter beer is a replacement for that, and it's much better than any of the other snacks you could have. It is.
It is. It is filling. It's very sweet.
And that's
it's not something you can down quickly. You do have to take your time with it. If it's frozen, you have to take your time so you don't get brain freeze. And, you know, in the other forms, it's just so sweet. You can't chug that.
But that's why I absolutely think that it's worth the price at $5.50. That's not that much considering, you know, there's a lot of the snacks you'd go out and get in the parks, other sweets that you're paying just as much for it that I just flat out don't think are as good. Where can you find butter beer? Well, basically, if you throw a rock in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter's,
you'll find
butter beer. There's a
of
giant
Harry Potter's.
There's Potter's.
Potter's multiple.
Potter's. There's two butter beer carts in actual Hogsmeade, as well as Rhino said, you can get it at Three Broomsticks, as well as in the Hogshead. You over at Diagon Alley, you get it inside Leaky Cauldron. You get it at the Fountain of Fair Fortune. You get it at the Hopping Pot.
Yeah.
You get it in all those places. You literally would have to be blind.
And if you're blind,
do not find it.
Usually is here the... Yeah. Hear the delicious...
Good.
Yeah.
So, and then to just throw it on to butter beer, it's great. You take it with you, you take it anywhere you go, drink it, just enjoy that goodness. However, my favorite place to have a butter beer is I get it at the Hogshead, my cold one, and then right on the back side of Three Broomsticks and Hogshead, there's this outdoor patio section that has a beautiful view of a lot of Islands of Adventure as well as the castle, and it is. No one's usually out there unless it's summer, the middle of summer, and everything's crazy and packed. You can usually sit out there, almost be exactly by yourself, and just watch what's happening. I like it.
I've got a favorite drink in the Hogshead area there that I like to go out of my way to get sometimes, too. So what's great is the theming of the Wizarding World. You know, it's so well-themed, so well-immersive, but one of the things is there's no soda served anywhere in there. So if you go into the Hogshead Bar... and you order like a Long Island iced tea is what they recommended to me once. They call it a Hogshead tea. They don't make it with soda. They'll use like iced tea instead. So it's maybe like raspberry. You can get regular or something else. But it is a great drink, and it's actually way better without the soda. And I feel like it's a drink that you get. It's like $10, but you definitely get, you know, the bang for your buck. Because it's not like... It's not a light pour. It's a full pour. So it's
and, of course, with that, the reason there's no soda in it is soda is not in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. in general. It's not in any of the books or the movies. It also does not belong in the theme park experience.
Right.
So you will not find anything in there. Everywhere outside of it. And like in terms of the butter beer, it's more expensive too if you get one of the souvenir mugs with butter beer. However, if you are a big soda drinker, then after you're done with your butter beer, you can take it around and get soda filled up in your butter beer cup for the refill price, which I believe is 99 cents.
Yeah, I think it's
for that. Right.
So it's a good deal to think about. Other classic drinks you can find in the Wizarding World.
Pumpkin Fizz. That's my favorite.
Yes. Thank you. That's like a explain pumpkin fizz?
It's the closest thing to soda, I think. It's like the pumpkin juice, but it's got carbonation in it.
How?
What do you mean how?
Club we soda. Have the answer. We did research yesterday.
Oh, fun.
Pumpkin juice and club soda.
Good. Then I'm going to make that at my house because I usually will buy like a bottle of pumpkin juice and just like take a sip every couple of days. So one bottle lasts me a while. And if that's how you do it, that's how you do it. Yeah. It's great.
And that's a little bit cheaper than butter beer. It's $4.50.
Yep. And you get an annual pass holder discount because it comes in the bottle, so you buy it in the merchandise shop. And you get
and that's okay. Sorry. So then there is pumpkin juice, as you just mentioned too, that you can get in any of the gift shops as well as restaurants and bars. And it is a collectible bottle. It's a really cool bottle.
Cool, yeah.
I drink it, and then I just have the bottle on display because I am a complete loser with low self esteem.
I've got a Harry Potter display too.
I know we do, and yeah, that. To get a bottle of pumpkin juice, it's around $6. And you can find that everywhere. The pumpkin fizz, though, that's on – the pumpkin juice is on tap inside the Hog's Head.
Yeah.
So, I think it tastes better tap.
It's good.
Go and get the pumpkin juice, even not a pumpkin fizz, just pumpkin juice by itself on tap in Hog's Head. I think that's kind of the best way you could enjoy it.
Mixed a little better.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree.
Should we explain what is mixed in the pumpkin juice?
If you want to, JL.
Apple juice, pumpkin puree, apricot puree.
See, I'm an apricot puree person.
And this sugar.
Is ruining the magic.
Lots
for me.
Of sugar.
Lots of sugar. Yeah, it's very sweet. A little too sweet for, I think, the most people who do taste it. So pumpkin fizz is a good way to bring it down, amp it up a little bit. Other fun Wizarding World of Harry Potter drinks. Let's talk about the beers. The beers, they have all these specialty beers, whether it's the Hogshead that you have in the Hogshead, obviously. They have the Dragon Scale that you can find over in Diagon Alley, along with the Wizard's Brew. That's also in there. And then there's just lots of fun combinations you can start making with it, like...
And these are things that are not on the menu that you have to... specifically ask for? Is that where you're going?
So whenever Diagon Alley first opened up, the two beers there, the Wizard's Brew and the Dragon Scale, I liked both of them, but decided, hey, what would it be like if we mixed both of them together and made more of a fun little mixed drink? And they'll do that with anything. As long as it's on tap, they'll mix it for you if you ask them.
They'll do a half and half beer?
What's that?
They'll do a half and half beer?
Yeah.
They will even do a triple.
Yes. Which is?
Which is Strongbow Cider topped with Hogshead and then topped with Guinness.
Mm-hmm. So, and then there's other, like Jessica Simmons' blog brought up the Dragon Bite that you can get at Fountain of Fair Fortune. That's Dragon Scale and Strongbow.
We didn't explain what Dragon Scale was.
Dragon Scale? Dragon Scale, that is the more amber colored beer that they have over in Diagon Alley, and then they have the Wizard's Brew, and that's a dark malty beer, not like on the level of Guinness, but definitely on the darker, thicker side. Not served on nitro or anything, just right out of the tap. But it's one of the fun parts about Universal where they win that they have these specialty beers brewed for them. And then you can make all these fun combinations out of it. And
does the price change if you get it straight or if you get a combination?
No, it's the beer is anytime I've been there, they charge the one price, which is around $7.75, I believe.
Okay.
So it's all very reasonable to get crazy with this. But we did bring up beer. So the next step that you have to take in that is going to Duff Beer.
Mm-hmm.
the specialty beer that all their beers are brewed by Florida Beer Company. Mm-hmm. So just made specifically for them. As I mentioned when I talked about Universal Studios Hollywood, they even ship it out there for their Springfield with the Duff beers. So Duff beer is also an amber
lager.
Amber style lager that is very similar to like drinking a Yingling. And then they have Duff Light, which is it's a Pilsner. So, but think Pilsner like a Bud Light. Very thin, not a lot of flavor to it, but very refreshing on a hot summer day. Then they have the Duff Dry, which is only available in cans. That's a darker, maltier beer for you out there. And then they even, this past year, they did, over Halloween, they did the Duff Oktoberfest, which was really cool. Their Märzen-style Oktoberfest-style beer. So Springfield is just, it's a heck of a place to get a drink. Especially a beer, because they have Duff Gardens that's right outside overlooking the lagoon. It's beautiful, especially on a nice temperature-wise day. Not overly hot, not overly cold. It's fun to sit out there. But then the experience that you get drinking inside of Moe's, too, it's also a heck of a good time, especially if you're sitting right by the phone and you get to pick it up every now and then. So
yeah.
And the Duff beer runs about the same price as the beers in the Wizarding World, correct?
Yep.
Right.
So
When you're in Moe's, you can also get
Rhino, what can you get?
I feel a little offended that you would cut to me for this one.
What is the other big specialty drink you can get?
A Flaming Moe.
Oh, I didn't put that together.
So,
sorry,
I'm just trying to include you in the conversation.
You see what I have to put up with, everybody? I think the Flaming Moe, which if you remember the episode of The Simpsons, I do have an issue with the Flaming Moe at Universal Studios, but the episode of The Simpsons is the drink that, is it Homer makes it or is it Moe makes it? I think Homer makes it with Moe.
It's Homer invents it.
The cough syrup.
Because he had to just mix what he had, and then he took it to Moe's one day, and he made it at Moe's. Moe's took credit for it, and then he blew up for it. And, you know, Flaming Moe's, Aerosmith came and played at Moe's Tavern in that episode.
It's a good episode.
Hello. What did they say? I think it was Hello Cleveland, and then like, but when Springfield. And like it almost had like a British accent. It's like, Aerosmith, you're from Boston.
Yeah.
What's going on here? But no, classic episode.
And so the presentation at Universal is really cool, because what they do is they give it to you in this little cup, little half-size cup. It fizzes and has like smoke that comes out of it. But how they do it is it's actually a piece of dry ice in the bottom of the glass. And it's like the special grated glass that they do. It's what, orange soda?
Yeah, it's an orange flavored soda. It's pretty simple.
Which I have a little bit of an issue with the Flaming Moe. I feel like they did a great presentation. I love that you get the little glass. However, this should definitely be an alcoholic drink. Well, because on the show, it had cough syrup in it, but it's got alcohol.
Cough syrup.
They served it at a bar. I don't know. For me, I always feel like I get why they made it non-alcoholic, but there should be an alcoholic version.
Yeah, there should be, and I know a lot of that comes into difficulties with, so the Flaming Moe, it's expensive. It's $8, I think $9.
Yeah,
But you get to keep the cup that it comes with. So all the cups are preloaded with
the dry ice
in there, so that way whenever it all gets poured on, it will start to fizz and flame and all that. So obviously these are one-time use things. So you get to keep the mug, the cup with it, which is really cool. But so with Universal and I believe Disney in every place, you can't ask for like an alcoholic drink in a non-alcoholic cup. They won't do that, and vice versa. You can't say like, oh, I want this drink I want the alcoholic cup, but I don't want alcohol in it.
They also can't see you mix it.
Yeah. So there's difficulties with that. So I wish that they could, but then they'd have to create two different systems for the mug and all that to really make it work to have an alcoholic and a non-alcoholic version.
I don't understand why the cup can't be an alcoholic cup, though. Why isn't it just classified as the alcoholic one? Like, why aren't they just like different colors or something?
Because then anyone could easily still just mix around with that.
I guess. I don't know.
Anyways, if you're underage and you're with someone who's overage, yeah, eventually you're going to figure out the way to scheme people and you're going to drink, and then you usually get arrested and caught. And
have you ever had alcohol in your Flaming Moe?
Have I ever had alcohol in my Flaming Moe? No, I don't need it. I've had the Flaming Moe a couple times whenever it first came out. I don't appreciate it.
You can't buy it without the mug. There's not a version you can get that doesn't come with you owning that glass. So that drink is always that expensive.
I don't mind it. It's just not worth it to me. Butterbeer is worth it.
Totally.
Flaming Moe isn't. Something else that you can get in Springfield that I do feel, although it's not like it's not revolutionary or anything, it's Buzz Cola. It's Coke Zero with the cherry flavor mixed in.
I want that.
It's nothing extravagant. I mean, you can have...
That one's a much more reasonable price, $3.69.
Because it's just flavored soda, it's good.
Do you get that at the food, at the counter?
You can get it anywhere at Duff Gardens. You can get it at the counters. You can get it at all of them.
I know they have the cups for it. Can you get a squishy there?
No.
Yeah, I feel like that's another kind of a missed opportunity. Although I do love the collector's mug that you can drink out of. That's the squishy mug.
I feel like that'll all come eventually. They do have the frozen, the Fanta frozen drinks outside at Duff Gardens that you can fill up, but that's not a squishy.
Yeah.
It's marked Fanta cherry or Fanta grape.
I don't know what a squishy is, guys.
It's the thing they serve at the Quickie Mart.
Slushy.
Oh.
When the Simpsons movie came out. Or it wasn't even when the movie came out. I think it was when they were opening the ride at the park, the 7-Elevens turned into the Quickie Marts, and you could get a squishy at 7-Eleven.
So that covers everything in...
Springfield?
In Springfield. And then another one that we'll just bring up kind of in the parks. These are, we're rounding out for the drinks that you can get in the parks that we think are worth discussing. But I want to bring up the freeze ray smoothie. Basically, the first time I had it, it was whenever we were out in Hollywood before they brought it over to Florida. It's now in Florida. You can get it at the Kid Zone Pizza Company in Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone, as well as at the Universal Music Plaza food stand that they have. If you're looking at the stage, it's on the right. The one on the opposite is merchandise.
The one with the monsters on top of it?
It's right across from Monsters.
Okay.
It's where they have one of the two giant screens attached to it, up above. So you always look up at the screen.
That's right.
You never look at the actual food they're selling there. The freeze-ray smoothie is the Despicable Me drink that you can get there. And it is, of course, Minions love their bananas. So it's primarily a banana drink with a little bit of mango flavor. And then to give it this weird carbonated beverage taste, they basically put Sprite in it. I've only had it the one time out in Hollywood, and as a banana fan, watch yourself. As a fan of the fruit banana, I enjoyed it. The Sprite kind of threw it off a little bit, just because it had that bubbliness to it. But overall, not bad. Good drink, and it's in that same price range of five-ish bucks for it, so I would recommend trying it at least once if you are a fan of the fruit bananas. And I think that's going to kind of
there's always money in that banana stand.
There's always money in the banana stand.
Bees.
Let's move into City Walk. JL, do you want to kick us off with one from City Walk?
Well, we had James Bexansky.
Your guess is as good as mine.
If I'm not saying that correctly. James Bexansky on our Facebook page said that his favorite was the Banana Banshee at Fat Tuesday. That's a frozen daiquiri with grain alcohol and a creamy banana mix that you can actually buy online, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you can buy most of the mixes for Fat Tuesday's drinks online. Fat Tuesday is it's a New Orleans drink. I believe that's where it originated. So I saw it the one time I was on Bourbon Street. Then I was like, oh, that makes sense. Same thing goes with Pat O'Brien's. Pat O'Brien started in New Orleans, and then they adapted it here. And, you know, that all makes sense because they're right beside each other. Fat Tuesday, though, is one of the best places to get a drink at City Walk. Absolutely. If you like frozen, sweet, alcoholic drinks. Because, A, they aren't bad all the time. a lot of, if you want to get drunk quick at City Walk, this is a good way to do it. And two,
they give you the extra shot you can add into it too. Yeah,
and they have a collectible cup that makes refills cheaper. I can't remember how much cheaper it is.
It's like $2 less because we have that cup.
Yeah, I had one back whenever I was going there.
It's a good size cup too.
Every night.
It's like 20 ounces, right? Something like that. It's bigger than like the normal. The normal cup is like a regular 16 ounce plastic.
You think it's 16? I think that's 12, and then the collector's is like 16.
It's the size up from the one that you would get if you were just ordering the drink. So I think when you buy it, it might be like a dollar or two more. However, every time you use it, it's like $2 less. So it's a pretty good deal.
Exactly. No, in these drinks, they're fun. It's a good way to get a night started. Usually, if you're smart, depending on your tolerance level, if you have one of these, you're gonna feel it then and let the night take you the rest of the way. Maybe potentially to another place in City Walk to get another drink. Obviously, a lot of these are going to be. We're now bordering on the alcoholic side here.
Yes. Well, it's City Walk.
It's City Walk. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you expect the milkshakes over at Breadbox? Those are good.
Those
didn't have that on the list, but...
Well, that's not alcoholic where we...
Well, no, I mean, but I'm just saying, in terms of non-alcoholic at City Walk, that's like pretty much the only thing that I would really...
Cowfish has good milkshakes, too.
They do, but they will also spike them. Jenny Woodfine wrote in on our Facebook page, and she said she loved the Orange You Glad I'm Back spiked hand-spun milkshakes at Cowfish, and that came with Cruisin' Vanilla Rum, Pinnacle Vodka, Vanilla Ice Cream, and Orange Sherbet.
Sherbet? See, I'm a sherbet guy. Sherbet.
Is that like valet?
Like valet, sherbet. Or just sherbert.
Valet, sherbet.
Oh, God. Cowfish knocks it out of the park, though, with specialty drinks in general. That's not even my favorite hard... milkshake you can get there.
Oh, okay.
Mine's the stick in the mud. It's basically, it's ice cream, obviously. I think a little bit of Guinness, maybe a shot of whiskey, and it's drizzled with caramel, and then there's just a pretzel stuck in it. And it just all together, it's freaking fantastic.
When we had gone to Cowfish, I didn't have the spiked kind, but I had the birthday cake milkshake.
Just the regular milkshake, yeah.
And that was amazing.
Well, and then
mind blown.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention my favorite drink that you get at Cowfish. I know it's also up there on Rhino's list.
Yeah,
too.
I know I have a picture on my phone. That's why I was looking really quick.
The buffaloes and bacon.
Yeah, and that drink will get you. I don't want to say wasted. It's a good drink to have. Like I had it at when I met somebody for a drinks. A listener actually, and I had one, and I was like, I feel really good. Like, it was worth it. Like, it was a good drink. I taste the bourbon. You know, it was a nice... I don't know. It's different, too. It's such a great presentation.
It's a Manhattan, a little bit on the smokier side.
Yeah.
And it also... it just also is served with a piece of bacon.
Yeah,
which
nice
you can never go wrong with bacon.
Right, exactly.
You did mention the Breadbox milkshakes, and they are good. Rhino and I had one... what were we
covering?
They
have the one Nutella one.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter celebration. We stopped in there for our lunch, and it was very good.
Also, in City Walk, while we're moving along here, we just talked about it, so I'm not going to really go in depth on it. But Margaritaville, we mentioned that they were good. Also, on that episode, we mentioned Anahitos and my love for the margaritas there.
And I got to go back and have one, because I don't have the same experience.
So. And I disclosed the amount of margaritas that I had on that fateful night that I was talking about. And people were, well, not people, you guys, you were extremely disappointed in me. So that's always fun.
Joseph Sibarek on our Facebook page said when it came to Margaritaville, he liked the Havanas and Bananas, dark rum, creme de banana, Bailey's Irish cream, and pina colada mix.
Sounds like a lot's happening there.
I have another favorite spot.
Go.
Okay, so the Lone Palm airport, whatever, outside of Margaritaville, I think it's a nice place for an afternoon. They do a happy hour. I mean, I'm not saying you have to go for happy hour, but they do a good margarita out there, and they do the one that has, like, I think it's called the Shark Bite, where it's like the land shark tipped over into the margarita.
Yeah.
And it's just nice. On a nice day, you're sitting in a real good prime location to just kind of look out over the water.
Yeah.
just kind of enjoy.
Then, of course, at NBC Sports Grill and Brew, I'm a huge fan of the actual beers that they make.
Yeah.
Not there. We found out that is not really made there, but the beers that are made for them.
They have a couple, too. How many did they have?
There was three. There's the 862 IPA that is a that's always all the time there. They have the Beer Engine one, and then they have a seasonal one that they'll mix in. So two that are always there, and then one rotating one. I think it's a great place. Definitely try their beers. Again, they're unique.
Yeah,
you got to do it. And then just to wrap things up here, obviously the resorts are also very popular. However, I think there are two resorts in particular that are better to get drinks at than the other. There's nothing wrong with getting a drink at Hard Rock or at Portofino. Both great places on their own, but on the other side of property with Royal Pacific and Cabana Bay, that's where the real opportunities are. Even if you're not a huge fan of tiki drinks, think they're a little too sweet, you got to get into Chop Chop and try some of theirs. They have a specialty mug there.
That's part of the fun. Didn't you tell me that when we were there? I ordered that pear martini like an idiot.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's on the menu.
I didn't see
it. I own one.
We went for lunch. I probably would have got it.
Yeah. No, but they have a whole bunch of different. They have classic tiki drinks like the Dark and Stormy, Mai Tai, Hurricane. And then they also go beyond with signature drinks for the restaurant. But my favorite place to get drinks at, absolutely, I think in Universal, unless I already said it before, is over at Cabana Bay.
In the Beach Swizzle Resort. Lounge?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
The Swizzle Lounge at night.
Makes him feel like a madman.
It's absolutely. It you is like 100% madman.
You're Don Draper?
Yeah, 100%, of course, too.
Do you wear your fedora when you go there to drink?
I wear my fedora, the one that you bought for me at Disneyland. Take off my wedding ring and just see who I can take home that night, just like Don Draper would.
Anybody a banana fan here?
Any fans of banana? But yeah, the Swizzle Lounge, I mean, first off, they have their own specialty. Swizzle sticks there. They run a great happy hour during the day, and then again at night. Really knocks down the price of drinks. They offer local craft beers there all the time, pretty much all around Cabana Bay, actually. They do a good job at offering a great, excellent beer selection. But again, there is nothing like having an old-fashioned or a Manhattan while sitting at the Swizzle Lounge and just kicking back and getting a drink.
And I did not see that coming. I do not know how that was overlooked, but that's a very good point.
Yeah, but it goes even beyond that, like the Hideaway out on the
I love the Hideaway.
The courtyard. I mean, you love the food.
I do. I love that whole little setup.
Yeah.
It really, the whole resort is kind of built on Miami Beach, South Florida, circa 50s, 60s, but that particular corner of the resort really takes me back to that, and it's particularly sentimental for me because my grandparents lived in Miami Springs, and so it makes me feel like I'm in their neighborhood.
Yep.
I just love the Hideaway,
and I love all of it because the Hideaway, Swizzle Lounge, Atomic Tonic, and even the bowling alley up above Galaxy Bowl, they all have some specialty drinks there that are only at that location too. Cabana Bay is literally my absolute favorite on a long list. And, you know, drinks, whether they're alcoholic, non-alcoholic, you can't really go wrong. And there's too many to list. Like, we didn't talk about Moose Goose and Juice Goose.
Oh, yeah. The Moose Juice Goose.
We didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about Pat O'Brien's.
I haven't had that yet.
We didn't talk about the Hurricane at Pat O'Brien's.
That'll knock you on your bum.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about a lot of the drinks at the Fountain of Fair Fortune.
Exactly. None of those. We've missed so much, and that's why we do need to have fun drinks around the world so we can get in there and show more of this, too.
We need to invest some time in the research of this and do a really bang-up job.
Absolutely.
Some of the more unusual drinks that you can find on Universal property.
Yeah. So, of course, I know you guys have favorite drinks out there, too. So if you didn't leave us messages letting us know what your favorite drinks were, it's not too late. Leave it down in the comments below or go on our Facebook and leave them there, too. We still want to hear from you.
Absolutely. Well, it could maybe help us for the next time we go around and cover all of this.
Exactly. Drinks around the universe. Okay. It's got to happen. So thank you all for watching, listening, and paying attention to us as we reminisced about some of our hazier and not so hazy moments that we've had at Universal Orlando. Of course, if you want any more information on anything we've talked about on today's show or any of the other shows or all of our shows, go to disunplug.com. That's where you'll find our show notes, all that important jazzy stuff you can find. If you don't want to do that, you just want to watch or listen, go on iTunes, subscribe to us, youtube.com/disunplug to find this show. If you want to find just random park videos and stuff we do, youtube.com/WDWinfo. Make sure you're going on and following us on our social media. JL is starting to do a knock-up job with taking care of the Universal social media because, well, she's just nice.
Yeah,
she's very nice.
I'm okay.
She's a decent person. She's okay. It's fine. She's awful.
She's okay. That was my worst Rocky Horror impersonation I've ever done. Sorry.
Fantastic, Rhino. Fantastic. But no, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much to everyone out there. Remember, if you like this, click that thumbs up button below. Still got to find that a-hole who's hitting that thumbs down button before we start. We will track him down.
We will hunt you down like the dog that you are.
Absolutely. We will. It will be my goal in life to do so. But thank you again, and we will be back with you hopefully next week for another episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. We forgot our resolutions again.
That's our drinking around the world.
Remember, drink, sir, Universal.